Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. For years, there have been rumors that the medical requirements for holding a pilot certificate could change. With the introduction of the light sport category, we've seen that to some extent. But could changes be coming to medical certification requirements for the holders of other certificates as well? The Experimental Aircraft Association and AOPA are making that push. Today we're speaking with EAA Vice President of Industry and Regulatory Affairs, Sean Elliott, to learn more. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. Glad to be here.
Well, let's dive right in. What are the key points behind this effort?
Well, the key points are this. We have partnered together with EAA and AOPA, embraced in this effort to develop a request for an exemption to the regulations that is truly a needle mover. We feel that this opportunity is one that has the most merit of all the different attempts we've made. Both organizations over the last 20 years have submitted no less than 7 requests for similar type of considerations. So we are asking the FAA to consider pilots who fly recreationally in aircraft, and at any certificate level, I might add, recreational, private, commercial, ATP, does not matter. If you fly recreationally in an aircraft that has 180 horsepower or less, 4 seats or less, fixed gear, day VFR, and 1 passenger, that you will be able to do so by taking an online, both initial and then recurrent, with some time frame yet to be determined, medical training program. Online that allows you, with free of charge, I might add, to better understand what the ramifications are of being fit to fly, and how to be most effective at being a safe, medically fit pilot and take good care of yourself and absolutely be a solid performer in the cockpit on an everyday basis, not just once every 2 or 3 years with a visit to an AME. And if this goes through, people will be able to do that by taking that online course and having a driver's license, just the way sport pilot works.
So aside from the course and the driver's license, there'd be no medical visit, no requirements there as far as conforming to medical standards?
That's the way we envision it. There's still a lot to be determined. As we're drafting it, that is exactly the way we envision it. We still have a long way to go, obviously, in dialoguing with the FAA and having those discussions to see what the end result is. But yes.
So this is fairly closely based on sport pilot certificate experience, correct?
It is very similar to sport pilot experience. There are some differences too, but the key thing is that we have a track record since 2004, when the sport pilot rule was first incepted, that says very clearly, the data shows us there have been 0 fatalities due to medical incapacitation in that movement. And we feel very strongly that this realm of flying that we've described here, the recreational flying realm with 180 horse, 4 seat, fixed gear, et cetera, statistically is a tremendous leap as far as safety and safe kind of flying versus some of the other types of flying that, while we would all love to see people have the opportunity to do without a medical, we understand that there are inherent risks and data that support those elements that make it less than desirable to achieve.
Well, now, where's the FAA stand on this? Are you aware of any efforts on their end to put something similar together? We've heard some rumors that that might be possible, but we haven't seen anything come out of them. I'm curious if you have any insight as to any movement on their part, or if your effort with AOPA, EAA and AOPA working together on this, is that a completely independent effort?
So far, it has been an independent effort on our part. However, we obviously have been having a dialogue with key senior management at the agency, and we feel, based on our dialogue, that at least we have the opportunity to put our best foot forward with all the things we've described here, and submit this request for an exemption, and they're not going to just simply say, nope, it's not an equivalent level of safety, which is frankly their charge, therefore we're not interested. We feel that they're actually going to take a look at this in a serious way and give us the opportunity to at least have the dialogue on it and move down the path. What the outcome will be, nobody knows. What the time frame will be, nobody knows. But we feel that the likelihood of this being at least received well and open for discussion is the best foot forward for both AOPA and EA.
Well, so let's shed some light on the process then. What are the logistical steps? What are the practical steps that are involved in accomplishing the goal here?
Well, for us, it's first and foremost finishing the actual request itself. And we clearly have identified the remaining key to that, as we've been working here over the months, is to have a very well thought out, described training syllabus for this initial and recurrent online training for you know, medical self-certification and what pilots really need to be knowledgeable on to do so on a daily basis. Our aeromedical councils, our respective councils, EAA has the Aeromedical Advisory Council, and AOPA has the Board of Aeromedical Advisors. Those two entities are getting together, and they're going to help us craft that. They're going to help us basically lay that out and frame it up, so that we have got a tier one first class medical training program as part of the request. We feel that's pivotal that the FAA sees that laid out in front of them as to what in fact we would do and the strengths that we would employ in doing so.
When you say a medical training course, what sort of thing are we talking about? Do you have any specifics that you could mention at this time?
Well, I don't have anything, you know, down to the in-the-weeds specifics. Here's what it is going to entail. But it's going to be online, so that it's simple. And it's going to be reasonable. It's not going to be something that, you know, takes 18 hours to complete. It will be achievable and reasonable and easily attainable through the web and all the modern conveniences that that our folks expect today.
And the idea is that it will educate people on some of the medical conditions that might be a threat to their safety. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, and it's more so than that. I mean, our intent really is to create training that is not in existence right now during the normal pilot certification training process. We want to bring to light all of the issues that people need to be thinking about on a daily basis as they fly and ensure that they are, in fact, safe to do so. You know, taking good care of yourself, staying fit, but paying attention to the small signs of health that can give you clues as to future bigger problems. You know, those types of things that we're gonna do a good, clear job of framing out to create pilots that are much more aware rather than just relying on a visit to the AME on some periodic basis.
Okay, so you'll have to set up the framework for the training, set up the petition the FAA. Those are the steps. Do you know anything about the time frame? Do you have a forecast for how long this might take?
Well, again, we're going to submit on or around the first of the year, and from there, let the dialogue begin. And our plan is to, you know, be in touch on a regular basis with all of the appropriate senior managers at FAA that are responsible for this area. Or these areas. And from there, it's just a matter of what issues come up and how quickly we're able to work on suitable resolutions that both do a good job of maintaining that equivalent level of safety and serve our constituents, our members, in the way that we know they expect them, they expect their organizations to look after them.
If it doesn't work out exactly how you planned, for example, let's say the FAA takes a look and they say, well, you know, we're okay with part C and D here of your proposal. Part A and B, not so much. If you don't get everything you're looking for, is it possible that you could settle for less and still get something out of this?
Glenn, that all depends. It all depends on what things they zero in on and what's left. If there are certain things that we're able to modify or change that still make very good sense in achieving our goals for, you know, increasing participation in aviation, then absolutely we will pursue that. But if the limitations are such that it stops making sense, then we're going to have to take another look at it and see if there's perhaps not another way to achieve our goals.
We've been speaking today with Sean Elliott. Sean is EAA's Vice President of Industry and Regulatory Affairs. Both EAA and AOPA are developing independent web pages for dissemination of the latest information on the effort. Those are in progress at the time of this recording and should be available soon. You can always find the latest, of course, also at avweb.com. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset, Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.